This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here, we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hi, guys. Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. Man, I'm so excited to be here today with my friend Kristen Stockton. Now, you guys might, if you've been listening for a while, you might recognize her name because she was a co-host on the podcast with me back in November of last year. So if you want to check it out and hear her co-host, you can go to the bonus episodes that played in the month of November of 2025. There's one called Letting Go of Guilt, Finding Freedom from the Pressure to Do It All. And then there's another one called When Overwhelm Hits, Real Help for Working Women of Faith. We really had a great time with working together on those episodes. But today, Kristen is back with us to tell us her personal faith journey story. And I'm so excited to hear it. So Kristen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jessica, for having me back. I'm excited.
I am too. All right. I know that we've been kind of friends here for a little while, but I don't know all of the details of exactly what God's done that stirred up in you to make you who you are today. And I'm really looking forward to learning more about how God's worked in your life. Would you be willing to tell us a little bit about your background and just kind of, you know, where you're from and anything you want to share? And then tell us how you came into a faith relationship with Jesus.
Absolutely. So I would say for most of my life, I really believed that strength and striving was the answer. For me, it was a way of kind of masking and covering up a lot of the shame and disappointment that I felt growing up. I was the only girl in a family of six. I had three older brothers, much older. They all played sports. So I was always struggling with who I was and what does my life look like. You know, it was funny, if something was hard, I had to push through and feel like I had to work harder. If something was broken or didn't work out, I had to kind of work to kind of fix it, right? Figure out how to fix things, glue things back together if I broke the thing. And if I felt insecure, I felt like I had to prove myself and just keep pushing through things. Mm-hmm. And so what I didn't realize was that strength can become an armor. And over time, eventually, armor gets really heavy to carry. I always say that, you know, I armored up most of my life, but in a bad way. I mean, we all look at the scripture where we're supposed to put on the full armor of God, but I put on the full armor of Kristen, where I just felt like I had to carry through everything. And that realization came through a lot of series of moments that I'll share, where God slowly transformed me and how I understood him. And I would say the thread that has gone through my life has really been about identity and who I was in him. And it took me a really, really long time to figure that out. Mm-hmm. But the early years of my background in faith, I mean, I grew up in a church.
Okay.
And I believed in God from an early age. In fact, I was reflecting coming here today that I kept a diary with a little lock on it.
Oh, I had one of those.
And I wrote really important things. In fact, one of the things that I wrote, which I remember to this day, I can see it on the diary, on the pages, was a date, March 5th or 7th, 1975. So I'm dating myself. I'm aging myself right here live on the podcast. So I was probably 7 or 8. And all I wrote was, today I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal savior. And that was a momentous moment. Mm-hmm. And I think, gosh, talk about a journey of over 50 years plus of being a child of God and the maturation process that I went through throughout that journey. And so one of the things that was important when I was thinking about this, when I look back, I can see things that were really clear. And one of them was that I believed about God, but I didn't yet know him in a real relationship. And I think faith was more informational. It was Bible stories and it was the Christmas pageants. And it was, God was relegated to Sundays, right? I think when I think about our family upbringing, we're a busy family and, you know, we went to church on Sundays. That was a must do. It was Bible vacation Bible school that we went to. I did the church camps. You know, we prayed to God for our meals, and I prayed at night when I went to sleep. And when I think back into knowing God and learning about him, but not really understanding that character of God and how it shows up, it was more about understanding the facts and the information than it was about a relationship. And the relationship didn't show up until much, much later in my adult life. So I think about the first half of my life was just knowing God was there. It was believing enough to kind of get into heaven and just have that, like, okay, I'm good. Like I accepted Jesus.
I got the golden ticket.
I didn't understand what it meant to be born again. I didn't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit at all, or really understand the working of the Holy Spirit until much later in life. And I think the thing that to me was impressed upon that is that when faith is like that, identity starts forming somewhere else. And there are consequences to that. As I look back, the absence of a relationship with God led to misshapen sense of identity in who I was. I was looking for acceptance and love in other things. And decisions were driven by kind of approval and achievement or wanting to be accepted for who you were. And then circumstances that were painful and discouraging happened in the absence of that relationship because, you know, now I know, lean on God when there's trouble and strife and challenges, and turn to him in moments of disappointment and hardship and grief. But early on in my life and in my upbringing in this early part of the journey, I didn't have a sense of even knowing that that was possible. And but the thing I love about the Lord is that it wasn't like he left me out there for the first part of my life. He was always there.
Yeah.
And I can see the imprint of him in my life, even when I didn't know he was there.
Right.
And I think all of us can look back to early memories in childhood and upbringing where, you know, we had people bully us or made fun of us or mocked us just for our appearance. I was really tall and gangly, and getting through adolescence and getting through that time period was really, really tough. And I don't remember ever praying to the Lord about, oh, help me through this period of time. But I will tell you that I had a praying mother, and I realized that people were praying for me and about me even before I was born.
Yeah.
And one of the things, the coolest thing that my parents ever did was they saved all of these cards that people gave them at church when I was born. And I would read them knowing how much they longed for a daughter, how much they prayed for a daughter, and how many people were praying for my existence even before I was born. And I think the Lord shows us things like that. And I, because of the relationship I have with him now, he kind of takes me back and shows me and fills in those gaps of where he was when and what was happening when that has now filled that identity story for me.
I think, and it's also just amazing to think that we often are very focused on the moment, right? We're in either survival mode or we're just living our life, our day-to-day life. And it's a lot of people don't ever take a step back to think of their life in context. I mean, a lot of people are just grinding and they just never really take a step back to think of their life in context. But when you do, like what you're saying, think about, you know, 50 years of God doing work in one single person's life, you know? And that's what we mean when we say that God's a personal God, is that God meets you in those moments. And in your case, Kristen, it was the age of 8. And I'm assuming the day that you wrote that in your journal must have been like a church altar call or something like that. Do you recall?
It was actually, I was sitting around the table in our Sunday school class.
Okay.
And Nancy Minnick was my Sunday school teacher. There was probably about 4 or 5 of us. And I just remember her going through the lesson. And then with this beautiful smile on her face, she invited us. She said, "Would you like to invite Jesus into your heart?" And that day we all, you know, we said yes, and we prayed that prayer. And obviously it had an imprint on me because I went home and I wrote about it in my journal.
Exactly.
And I wrote the date. Like, that was an important moment for me to remember. I wasn't always a good steward of keeping up with a journal. I would skip around a lot. I missed a lot of pages. But for some reason, I wrote that down.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, even with, you know, long, many years in between, I still remember that moment, and it was really, really important. And I sang in church, and I knew the Lord. And, you know, it's funny, I was thinking, there was often many times I would go to the Lord, like when I was really scared. So I know I was fearful of thunderstorms, and I know I would like grab all my stuffed animals when I was young, and I would crawl underneath my bed, and I would just huddle them close, and I would pray to the Lord to like make the storm go away, make the storm go away, make the storm go away. And he brings these moments back
into
our
life. Yeah. The way you can remember. Yeah. You can remember things. It's really neat. I love the journaling thing. I've been a journaler since I was a child. I had one of those journals with the lock on it as well. And I think my earliest memories of journaling were probably around the age of 7 or 8, just like you. But it's carried on as a very significant part of my life, not only because of my own writing now, but both of my children as well. I just recently was like, I'm pretty sure I wrote down whenever my older son accepted Christ. And I remember the moment, I remember what happened, but I was thinking to myself, did I write it down? And so right before he went to college, I was digging through my journals trying to find it. And I did. I found it. And I went to his room and I said, I want to talk to you to see if you remember this. I did not read it to him. I said, tell me what you recall, because he was only like 6 years old. And he told me, and I was like, buddy, this is amazing. Like, let me read you what I wrote down, you know? And a similar thing, my younger son went to his journal just like you, and he wrote down his reflections as well. So if there are any moms listening or dads listening right now, and you've got young children, whenever things, pivotal spiritual things happen in your children's lives, write them down. It's a really neat thing to reflect on whenever you go years and years later and you see God's hand over someone's life over time. So it sounds like striving and performance and fixing things and being a problem solver and working, you know, to kind of be what you're supposed to be, even whenever things maybe inside are falling apart or you really don't know what you're doing or whatever the case is, was a big part of your early journey. And you mentioned that you really didn't know the relationship part until later in life. Right. So tell me what experiences you had that really drew you into a more personal relationship with God.
Yes. So in those middle years, kind of in that early adulthood period of time, you know, I moved away from home. I was going to get a higher education degree. So I left Pennsylvania where I grew up, and I came to Washington area to go to grad school. And, you know, the self-assured, strong kind of, I can branch out on my own. I can do things on my own. I don't need anybody. I'm craving my independence. Those aren't always the best recipes for success.
No.
And
really?
Yeah. And it doesn't take, I don't know, I don't think there's anyone who can escape their 20s and maybe early 30s without some really major issues that have come from just going after the wrong things, focusing on proving myself, focusing on the perfection and acceptance and, you know, a lot of episodes of looking for love in the wrong places, getting involved with the wrong things, the wrong people, and, you know, not following the way that it wasn't an outright walk away from the Lord. It was just living my life and living life on my terms.
Yeah.
Living life the way I want to and experiencing whatever's around me and not really focusing or thinking about one, you know, God is still there, but he wasn't a part of my life at all. I didn't make him a part of my life. And like I said before, that has consequences. And those turned into a period of time where there was some spirit crushing, soul crushing moments and things where I got hurt. I got hurt by people really deeply. And I allowed things to take place because I thought I could handle them on my own. And I didn't ask anybody for help. And I didn't talk to anybody about the things that were going on. And therefore, it led to some really financial challenges, emotional, relational challenges, just heartbreak and really feeling like a bottoming out. But there was a part of me that wasn't going to give up and that there was a resolve that I was going to kind of make it through. But I had invited my older brother came down to visit me in Washington, D.C., and I shared some things that were going on. And he handed me the Bible and he's like, you read this. And I know he gave me kind of one of the Psalms. And it was funny because there was another moment in my life where my older brother wrote a scripture. I played track and field and I was going to an event and I forgot my sneakers. And so he picked them up for me and he brought them to me. They were in my locker. And in the heel of the shoe was a passage of scripture from Isaiah. He came to visit me one weekend because I was going through a particularly hard time. And we were talking and he handed me the Bible and we prayed and he gave me the scripture. And because he was coming, I found a church. I was like, oh, let's go. So we went to a church together. And it was in that moment I was sitting in the pew and the pastor of that church, this was the first time I had gone to that church. And the pastor was talking about shame and he was talking about, the decisions that we make and things that happen into our life and how God's grace and mercy. And the tears just ran down my face. And I got so emotional. I got up and I walked away. And there was a woman who saw me. I went into the chapel and she introduced herself and I told her who I was. And I shared with her some of the things that were going on in my life. And I said, I don't know how to get out of this situation. And it's really hard. And so we just prayed on it. I kept going back to that church and she would pray with me. And that was a turning point where I realized that the life that I had been living, the life of just kind of getting out there and
self-reliance,
doing things. Oh,
right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The whole thing was counterintuitive to what God had called me to do. And I felt that I had been wasting time and wasting my gifts. He has given me a creative spirit. He has given me a voice to sing and to praise him, and I wasn't using it. He has given me blessings of an amazing family who loved me from the minute that I was born and cared for me. And I didn't realize how much he loves me, that he put me in such a beautiful family. And no, we weren't perfect. Part of the reason why I was afraid of hell is because my dad used that word on very many occasions growing up. But he, I just felt so much love from the Father. Mm-hmm. And so I kept going to that church, and I eventually kind of started to turn things around. Mm-hmm. And then one of the things that I realized is that I was working to prove that I was worthy of love and acceptance because some of the ways that the relationships that I was in taught right. me otherwise. Mm-hmm. And they caused a lot of shame and doubt and hardship and wounds.
Yeah. You know, shame is something that will keep people away from God. It's probably, I mean, I don't really know, but it seems to me like it's one of the biggest things that keeps people away from God is feeling Absolutely. like they're not good enough to come before Him or to even worship Him. And it's such a lie because God is not looking for perfect people. Mm-mm. He's not looking for people who have gotten all cleaned up and polished in order to come to worship Him. He's looking for broken people. And so actually, if anything, if you're carrying around shame, if you're carrying around the burden of past sin, or you're carrying around poor decision making or bad relationships or whatever the case may be, that's the very person that God wants to be with. He Absolutely. Wants to rescue that person. He wants to comfort that person. He wants to redeem the brokenness in that person's mm-hmm. life. And so I can hear as you're talking that you walked in a little bit more of a, we're just going to go do this thing. It was more of a project to go to church. Mm-hmm. And then you walked out a sense of God is real. Mm-hmm. He's personal. Mm-hmm. He knows me. And oh my gosh, I feel like I just experienced Him and He wasn't judging me. He wasn't casting that shame upon me. I was the one that was carrying that shame. That came from a lie that Satan was telling me. And God is actually telling me that He loves me. So I can tell that you had just a real big kind of, it seems like a deliverance of sorts or a breakthrough of sorts at that point in your relationship with God. And so where did you see God work after that?
So part of this redemptive intervention came when I started dating my now husband, Jerry. So in the middle of that season of striving, and I had been working, and one of the things that I had, I met him while we were volunteering and I was working in an organization. I have a 30-year career of working in private and public sector jobs in corporate philanthropy and community relations and human resources, and working with leaders, designing and developing operational excellence in companies. And so I wanted to, again, I put on this, I put on this armor of kind of carrying the positions, being in positions of authority, being in leadership positions, striving for that excellence. And so during the middle of that season, God brought Jerry into my life. And I often describe him as my kinsman redeemer because one of the beautiful things, and this comes from that comes from the book of Ruth. So for listeners who may not know that story, a kinsman redeemer is someone in the family line who steps in to restore what had been lost or broken, to redeem a situation that had become broken. And that's how I see my husband Jerry's role in my life. And that's why I affectionately call him my kinsman redeemer, because while the Lord saved me, as only the Lord can save me, and only Christ does that, but God used him as part of my redemption story, because part of the things that were so broken were relationships I had with other men and the way I was used and hurt and wounded by many of them. And I didn't have a lot of trust, and I didn't feel I was worthy of love. I felt like I was the shame that I carried from those relationships made me feel that I didn't have any value and I didn't have any worth, and I was on the discount rack.
Right.
And so I saw him as someone who had a relationship with God, not just belief, but an intimacy. And the way he talked about his relationship with God and the way he would pray and he cannot sing, but we would be driving and he would just play gospel music. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I've got this guy who's playing gospel music in the car. I've never listened to this kind of music before, ever. It was just so transformative. And so, and his love for me, as I shared my story with this man that I was dating, as I shared this story and I saw that his love for me, like, it didn't matter what my past was. It mirrored the way that our Heavenly Father sees us. I don't care about your past. Mm-hmm. And I knew then that God was going to use the messy parts of my life and redeem me through them in the work that I do for others. Mm-hmm. And I always knew that as bad as the situation was or as awful as I felt during that prior season, I knew that something good was going to come out of that. And my husband's favorite verse and mine is Romans 8:28. And that's what he told me. He said, Kristen, if you will allow God, he will turn it around for his glory and your good. Mm-hmm. And hold tight on that. And that has been a prayer and a verse that I have kept as part of my life. And watching his relationship, it felt like faith wasn't just something that became intellectual or things that you believed or stories or a process that you went through, something performative. It really, God began to gently invite me into something much deeper. And so through all of that, I started pouring into Bible studies. And my mother-in-law was a big advocate. And I think part of it is, We go through our life and people come in and out of our life. And some are there to kind of teach us things. Some are there to shepherd us. Some are there to really pour into us. And I feel like God has put me on a path where he was preparing me for where I am now all throughout my life. And I had to go through really hard things, because if I didn't, I wouldn't understand his redemptive love and his restoration and how he can rebuild us so we can rise up out of the ashes and help other people and pour into other people.
Yeah. And I'm aware that you do ministry now. And so why don't you tell us about that and how did that come to be? Because obviously God was doing all this work in your life, restoring and redeeming the broken things in your life. And you're telling us that you knew that God was going to use that for his glory in the future. And it seems like he did something to show you what he wanted you to do. So tell us about where you saw God move in order to start doing the work that you do today.
Yes. So this is about a retreat encounter. So a couple of years ago, one of the most pivotal turning points came during this retreat, where it was out in this beautiful pastoral place, and it was like 3 days, and the retreat opened the door for something I had never fully experienced before. First of all, I didn't really encounter the presence of God as deeply in that environment. People praying over you, just sitting and listening to the word, soaking in the Lord, having prophetic words spoken over you. And it was during that experience where God revealed things that I had carried for years. He revealed wounds that had shaped my identity, places where shame had driven my striving, and ways I had built my identity apart from him. So when I realized that and recognized that, it shifted. I began to experience something real with him, that intimacy. I left that retreat and I had a dream. When I had woke up from this dream, and it was so very vivid, I had prayed about it because I said, Lord, I need to understand what this was. And so I had done some research on dreams. And one of the things that it was really about an intimacy. It was about having an intimacy with the Lord that was just sweet and loving. At one part of the dream, I had these big, beautiful mugs of hot chocolate with marshmallows and the gifts all around me. And he said, and it was like he was calling me into this time of just renewal and trust and love in a safe place where goodness is coming and there are gifts surrounding you that I am giving. giving you and blessings that I'm giving you. And it changed the way I saw myself, because I saw myself loved and seen and known by him. And you read scripture and people tell you that, but till you know, until you know, until you know,
not the same until it happens to you. Right?
And so that leads to kind of the work that I'm doing now, is helping other women who've gone through similar situations. Mm-hmm. And I notice that there are patterns by other women, like high capacity women leaders, women in the workplace, where we're strong and we're capable and responsible, but we're quietly exhausted.
Right.
We are putting all our energies, we carry a lot of weight. And the journey that God took me through was preparation. So the journey eventually becomes the framework for the work I do now, which is a platform called Restore, Rebuild, Rise, where you get the healing, the deeper healing in the restorative work that only he can do, mm-hmm. to rebuild your and renew your identity in him and anchor in him and rise so you can walk out in that purpose.
Oh, wow. I love that. And I love how he's now using you to be able to speak truth to other people who have experienced the burden and the heaviness of shame or guilt or affliction the way that you have, and that then gives them the ability to really experience God in new ways as well. I don't know why, but for some reason the whole time you've been talking, I've been thinking about the verse that says, draw near to him and he will draw near to you. Mm-hmm. I feel like it might seem really simple, but it's actually what we don't do, right? And especially in the case of folks who are carrying around shame or guilt or not really clearly understanding their identity in Christ, that they will. It's very simple when we draw near to him to say, "Help," he draws near to you. And he's very personal, and he restores and he redeems and he builds, like your ministry says. Yes. So I love that. That's fantastic. And I know that so many people are blessed by your work. And I'm so thankful to see that you're kind of translating what your own personal darkness into mm-hmm. something that can help other people find deliverance from their darkness as well.
God never designed us to carry life alone, and your identity in Christ changes everything.
Thank you so much, Kristen. I appreciate this time. This has been a beautiful conversation.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited, because new episodes release every week.